Bom. Okay, so in the middle of a story, and we're going to see this very strange continuation to this story. Remember, Resh Lakish meets two Amoraim. They're on the way to be Ma'abed the Chodesh. He accuses various passers-by of being Mechalel Shvi'is. He calls them Koyanim for reasons that we discussed yesterday. And in both cases, the other Amoraim, namely Rav Shimon ben Yehi and Rav Chiya, they defended this particular individual, and they said, no, how do you know he's been Mechalel Shvi'is? Maybe it's extenuating circumstances, maybe he's working for a goy, etc., etc., etc. So now the story continues in rather dramatic fashion. So have a look. We're about the 10th last narrow line. And we're up to the last word of the line, which is Omru. Omru. First word of the line is Zois. Zois Omeres. At the end of that line, Omru. Omru, so they said to him, who said to who? Says Rashi, Omru, Reb Chiya bar Zanuki, Reb Shimon ben, Reb Shimon ole al Resh Lakish. The two Amoroim who were met by Resh Lakish, they said about Rav Shlokish, Truda hu dein. What does Truda mean? Look at Rashi. Rashi says, by no means it was a compliment at all. Truda kantaron huzeh. He's a kantaron. He is facetious. Umatriach bedvorov. And he is laboring in his words, meaning that they were upset with Resh Lakish. Why is Resh Lakish accusing every single person that he saw of being Shema, of being Mechalel Shvi'is? Remember, the other Amoraim, they were matzik, and they said it was an oinus, he's working for a goy. But they said that this Resh Lakish is rather facetious character. He does not seem to be prepared to give anybody the benefit of the doubt. And anybody he sees working in the field, he automatically assumes that he's been Mechalel Shvita. So therefore, they called him, they criticized him, and they called him a Truda. Now let's see how the story develops. Rather interesting fashion. Ki, says the Gemara, Ki Motu Lahasam. When they arrived there, meaning when they arrived, remember they're on the way to the Beis Din because they had a meeting to decide to be Ma'abed the Chodesh. When they arrived there, Saliku Le'igra, they went up a ladder. Why did they go up a ladder? Because the Beis Din, we saw this elsewhere, used to convene in the attic of a particular building. They needed a ladder to make their way up there. So they went up the ladder, but then Shalfuha, they removed Ledarga mitute. They removed the steps going from beneath the ladder, in other words, to prevent Resh Lakish joining them. They did not want Resh Lakish to make his way up the ladder to join them in this Moishav Beis Din. Look at Rashi. Ki moti hosam la'aliyah. When they got to this aliyah, shema'abrin bo, Shana, in which they ma'abed the Shana k'da omrinam b'perek kama, as we say in the first perek, that's where they used to hold these meetings. So when they got there, they went up to the aliyah, but they did not allow Resh Lakish to join them. Also l'kamei d'Rabbi Yochanan. So Resh Lakish is obviously rather put out. He has not been allowed to join the convening of these dayonim for Ibra HaChodesh, Ibra HaShana. So he says to Rabbi Yochanan, what's going on? Omale, he says to them, Bnei Adam, hachashudin al hashvius, ksheirin la'aber Shana? Question mark. Are those who are suspect with regard to Shmita, are they allowed to be ma'aber the Shana? Now, why was he accusing the other Amoraim of being suspect with regard to Shemitah. So look at Rashi. Says Rashi, Hachashudin al Ashvius, Shenasu Sanigoyren, they are becoming the protector, the defense lawyer, L'Rashoim. In other words, Resh Lakish says, listen, as far as I'm concerned, I saw people not observing the Shemitah. And for some reason, these other Amoraim seem to defend them. They became their defense lawyers. So as far as I'm concerned, that means that they themselves are now suspect. They themselves are suspect with regard to Shemitah. So how can they be allowed to join the Beis Din? So this clearly became rather a bitter machloikus between the Amoraim. On the one hand, they did not allow Resh Lakish to join the Beis Din. They considered him too critical. On the other hand, Resh Lakish considers them too lax. You're telling me that I'm critical? You're too lax. You're identifying and defending those people who are not keeping the Shemitah. If that's the case, you yourselves are just rendered disqualified, surely, from being Ma'abed Shana. And that's what he was saying to Rabbi Yochanan. How can you let this person possibly be Ma'abed Shana? Says Resh Lakish, Hodar Omar, he then retracted. And almost as it were, tongue in cheek, Resh Lakish says, oh, no, I get it. I understand. Loi kashali. On second thought, it's not difficult for me. I do understand it after all. Why? Midi dahava ashloisha roye boko. A rather disparaging comment. They're not worse than three shepherds. The achashpunayu v'rabonon achushpunayu somich. Now this is a Gemara that we learned a long time ago in Daf Yud Ches Amud Beis. It seems to be that you can even be ma'aber the shono based on the evidence of three shepherds, three lowly shepherds. Not that they would actually be part of the Beis Din, but v'rabonon achushpunayu, Rabbonon at the end of the day would rely their psak in the final analysis on their own cheshbonos. If you remember from a while back, if we don't, we should do chazara. On Daf Yud Ches Amud Beis, the Gemara talks about whether Rabbonon overheard a conversation between shepherds. And when one commented to the other about the sun and about the weather and about the produce, based on that, the Rabbonon made their respective cheshbonos and came to the conclusion that you either do or don't have to be ma'aber de shana. So you see that even peasants, ignorant people, as it were, can be influential when it comes to ma'aber de shana. So Resh Lakish, almost tongue in cheek, says, a minute ago I was rather upset. How could you include these Amorayim in the Beis Din of ma'aber de shana? After all, they're suspect with regard to Shemitah. But you know something, on second thoughts, I think you're okay. They're not worse than shepherds. And as long as the Rabbonon are soimich on their own cheshbonos at the end of the day, I guess, yeah, that's no problem. Says the Gemara, once again, he changed his mind. Vahodar Omar, and then once again, he backtracked again and says, no. Loidomi, it's not the same at all. Because Hossam over there, over there with regard to the shepherds, Hosam Imnu, Hodur Imnu Rabbonon v'Ibruhu Lehushato. Over there, the Rabbonon took over, and they were the ones who ma'aber the shon. In other words, it's true we relied on the evidence of the shepherds, but the shepherds themselves were never a part of the Beis Din. However, Hocha Kesher Rishoyim, over here you are allowing these Rishoyim, he's referring to them in very, very sharp terminology, he's calling them Rishoyim. You're allowing them to be part of the Beis Din, to be Kashur, connected to the Beis Din. They're actually part of the Beis Din. The Kesher Rishoyim Einoi Minaminyan. And if you have a group of people who include Rishoyim, that's not a Minyan, that's not a Moshe Beis Din. So Resh Lakish was very, very, very sharp. You can see this is clearly a very bitter machlokes. Again, Rab Shimon and Rab Chia, they did not allow Rish Lakish to join the Beis Din at all because they said he's too critical. Every person he sees working in the field, he jumps to a conclusion that he's been Mechal or Shmita. Meanwhile, Rish Lakish retorts and says, to the contrary, I'm too critical. You're too lax. For some reason, you're busy defending Rishayim. And that's why he turns to Rabbi Yochanan and says, I'm sorry, how can you allow them on the Beis Din to Ma'abed the Shana? Oh, maybe it's not so bad because they're like shepherds. No, it's worse than shepherds because shepherds, we might rely on their evidence, but they're not part of the Beis Din. And these Dayanim, he referred to them in very, 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 very sharp terminology, Kesher Rishayim Eino Min HaMinyan. Once it includes Rishayim, and there's no Minyan over here. So as far as Rish Lakish was concerned, these other Amoraim should not have been allowed to sit on the Beis Din whilst adjudicating in a case of Ibur Shana. That's what he told Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan, why are you allowing them to sit on the Beis Din? Rabbi Yochanan was not best pleased with this. Omar Rabbi Yochanan, two words, Da Oka. Da Oka. Now, I'm curious as to how Art Scroll translates Oka. Does it mean this is a shame, or this is a pity, or this is bad?
Distressful.
Distressful, okay. It's distressful that you're calling them Rishoyim. So have a look at Rashi. Says Rashi, Shloisha Roye Boka, Perek Kohen Gadol. Keshe Rishoyim Hu, Veheich Anu Soimchim Al Minyan Zeh. How can we possibly rely on this minion, Lasois Kedivrehem, to do like their word? How can we follow their word? Ba'afilu, and even if Ein Oisin Ibur Kedin V'Kedas, even if you tell me that actually they adjudicated everything was in accordance with the book, everything was just perfect, I'm sorry to tell you, Ein Hashana misaberes al yadayim. The year cannot possibly be rendered a shana misaberes through them. Deboina, because we require bezdin ne'emanim v'ze'enoy minyan. This is a very, very important halacha, Rabbi Yisai, we've discussed many times. If ever you have a group of edos or a group of dayanim, if one of them is disqualified, then that disqualifies the whole group, even in the event he is saying the truth. So imagine, for example, you have two Edim come to Beis Din and they both say that somebody was Mechal Shabbos. It happens to be one of the Edim is possible because he's a Korev. Well, finished. The whole Edus is out the window. Even if I happen to know he's telling you the truth. So too with the Dayanim. If you've got a Moshe of Beis Din, and they decide to be ma'abar the shana, kedas v'kedin, everything is just fine and wonderful. But if some of the dayanim are rishoyim, finish, that Beis Din is a non-Beis Din. It's irrelevant that it was all done by the book. And that's what he means, kesher rishoyim. You are being makushar, you are connecting yourself by virtue of the fact that you're sitting on the same Beis Din as these other amoroyim who I'm considering rishoyim. Well, if that's the case, I'm sorry to tell you, kesher rishoyim, Einoi minion, it's not a minion at all. Therefore, the whole Ibur Shana process turns out to be null and void. Says Rashi, Da Oka. Well, this is rather distressful. Sha'ata Koira Oison Rishoim. The fact that you're calling these other Amoroim Rishoim. Now, Rabbi Yochanan hasn't, as it were, really answered Rish Lakish's question. Rish Lakish's question was, how did you allow them to sit on the Beis Din? They're Rishoyim. And what's he answered? It's distressful that you call them Rishoyim. Now, does that mean that he was just expressing that he was upset with the way he referred to them? Or does he mean much more than that, that I disagree with you, they're not Rishoyim after all, and that in fact is the answer to your question, and that's why the Beis Din is 100% fine? Not clear. But let's see how the story carries on. Ki osu lekamei de Rabbi Yochanan. These are the two Amoraim who have now been accused of being Rishoim, have been compared to shepherds. In other words, Rav Chiya and Rav Shimon. They came to Rabbi Yochanan, Amrulei, and they said to him, Kari lon roye bokor veloy omar le mar veloy midi? Question mark. Now Rish Lakish is, now Rabbi Yochanan is getting in trouble. Everyone's getting in trouble over here. Rav Chiya and Rav Shimon said to Rabbi Yochanan, Rish Lakish spoke to you, referred to us as roye bokor, and he didn't say anything? Remember, the way Rashi explained before, Rabbi Yochanan only responded when Rish Lakish called them Rishoim. And he said, Da'aka, this is rather distressful, you call them Rishoim. One second, why didn't he say that it's rather distressful that you're referring to great Amoraim as shepherds? And that's what these Amoraim were complaining about. Rish Lakish called us shepherds and you don't say anything? You don't protest? Omar lehu, so he said back to them, "V'i kari lehu roye tzoyim, maya min alei." What should I say? You're right. They called you shepherds, or they called you shepherds looking after cattle, or shepherds looking after sheep. Maya min alei. What do you want me to tell them? There was not much to protest. Okay, so he's defending his own position. It would seem to be that he felt much more urged to protest when Rish Lakish referred to them as Rishoim, rather than as shepherds. Okay. Now, the Gemara presses pause in the story. My Kesher Rishoim. What's this phrase that Rish Lakish used, Kesher Rishoim, a wicked connection? We know the context that he's using it in. He is claiming that what? That these Dayanim sitting on the Bezdin together with Rav Chiya and Rav Shimon, that's Kesher Rishoim, and Kesher Rishoim, Einim in Aminyan. That's what he means. But where's he getting this turn of phrase from? Kesher Rishoim, Kesher Rishoim. Where does it come from? Says the Gemara. A story. Shevna. Now, who is Shevna? Let's have a look at Rashi. Says Rashi, Shevna was the Mamuna, was the appointee, al Beisai shel Chizkiyo Melech Yehuda. So you have to know a little bit of history over here. Chizkiyo was the great king. It says in the Novi that there was never such a great king of Yehuda like Chizkiyo HaMelech. And he had somebody who was the appointee, he was like in charge of his palace. Now this Shevna fellow was not a most scrupulous fellow. And he had plans to overthrow the king, Chizkiyo HaMelech, and become king himself. That's the backdrop to the story that we're about to learn now. So look back into the Gemara. Shevna have a dorish, he would give drushes. So clearly, he was a Talmud Chacham. And you would give droshes, betleser rabvasa, 13 lots of 10,000. 130,000 Talmidim he had. That's a pretty large student body. Chizkiyo, however, the king himself, have a dorish only bechadsar rabvasa. Only 11 times 10,000, 110,000. So the king, for whatever reason, actually had less Talmidim than Shevna. Shevna had 130,000, Chizkiyo HaMelech had 110,000. Says the Gemara, Ki Asa Sancheirev. When Sancheirev came, he wanted to besiege and then destroy Yerushalayim. V'tzor alad Yerushalayim. And he besieged the city of Yerushalayim. So Yerushalayim is now being surrounded by Sancheirev and his merry men. Kosav Shechna Pitka. So Shechna wrote a petek. He wrote a piece of paper. Shada Begira. He shot it with an arrow. In other words, he wants to deliver a message to Sancheirev. So how does he do that? Instead of sending him an email, he sends him a letter, which he writes, and shoots an arrow with the letter attached to it, I guess, over the wall of Yerushalayim, so that Sancheirev should receive his note. What did it say on the note? It said seven words. Shevna v'siyatoi hishlimoi. Shevna and all of his accompanying people, meaning all his many Tamidim, hishlimoi, are happy to seek peace and to surrender to you, the king, Sancheirev. However, Chizkiyah v'siyatoi, lo hishlimoi, they're not prepared to make shalom. That was the note. So I'm leading troops of 130,000 Talmidim. Chizkiyahu HaMelech is only leading troops of 110,000. We are the larger group. We are happy to make Shalim and surrender to Chizkiyahu HaMelech, to Sancheirev. Problem is, Chizkiyahu HaMelech, who's actually the minority because he's only got 110,000 Talmidim, he's not willing to be Mashlim. That was the note that he sent to Sancheirev. Clearly, his plan is not very noble. What is he trying to do? He's trying to land Chizkiyahu HaMelech in trouble. Remember, those were his plans. If only he can get Chizkiyahu in trouble and dismissed, well, then he was planning to take over the Melucha. So this was the message. Shivna v'siyata yishlimoi. They were happy to make peace and surrender to Sancheirev, but Chizkiyahu are not. Shenema, it's a pasuk, ki hine horoshoim yidruchun keshes koinenu chitzom al yeser. So have a look at Rashi. Hishlimu, they are at peace, lo'oivdeich, to serve you. We're happy to surrender to you. Yidruchun keshes. Keshes is, of course, a bow. Koinu chitzom. Chitzom is an arrow. Al shame, because of sheh. Al yidei chetz. It was through that arrow. Chetz is an arrow. Hu mevakesh lahomis es adoinov. He was trying to get his master killed. B'loshon hara hakos of shom. With the Lashon Hara that he wrote. What was the Lashon Hara that he wrote? He wrote that my master, Chizkiyahu HaMelech, does not want to make peace with you. So therefore, this is the Pasuk in Tehillim that we are quoting that refers to this story. The Rishoyim, they shoot their bow and their arrow in order to spread their Lashon Hara. That's a reference to Shevna. Because that's exactly what Shevna did. He shot an arrow to send a message reporting Lashon Hara about his master. Says the Gemara, carry on the story. Hava komistofi Chizkiyahu. So Chizkiyahu was afraid. He was scared. Why was Chizkiyahu scared? Omai said, Dilma, maybe chas v'shalom natye daite the Kodesh Baruch Hu basaruba. Maybe indeed HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to follow the majority. I'm not in the majority. I only have a group of 110,000. My rival Shevna has 130,000. So he was very afraid that maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to look at the majority. Now the majority were clearly Rishoyim. Shevna and his merry men. But if they're majority, maybe we're going to go with them. And they're going to surrender and have to give up to Sancheirev. And if that's the case, Kiven de Ruba Mimsari, seeing as the Roiv will be delivered to the king Sancheirev, Inu, Nami, Mimsari. Maybe we'll also be handed over. Don't we always have a rule that we follow the majority? So if the majority want to be handed over to the king, meaning they're willing to surrender, maybe by definition, we'll also then will be forced to surrender because we're in the minority. That's why he was very afraid. Says the Gemara, Bo Novi. So the Novi comes, Bo Omar Loi, and says to him, you have nothing to worry about. Loi Soimrun Kesher. It's a pasuk in the Novi Yeshaya. Loi Soimrun Kesher. L'koila asher ye'omer ha'om hazeh kesher. What does that mean? Says the Gemara, Kloima, kesher reshoim hu. The kesher reshoim einoy min aminyan. This is the source of Resh Lakish's turn of phrase, kesher reshoim. In other words, the Navi calmed down the fears. He allayed the fears of Chizkiyahu HaMelech and says, you've got nothing to worry about. Why? What was your fear? That you're the minority because you're only 110,000 and they're the majority because they have 130,000. But that 130 comprises of Rishoyim. And remember, as we said before, once you have Rishoyim in a group, that's not considered a group. Therefore, their group is not bigger than yours because theirs doesn't constitute a group. Because Kesher Rishoyim, Einoy Kesher Bichlal. That was the story in the Navi. Why are we quoting this story? Because that's what Resh Lakish was referring to when he said that if you have these Amoraim on your Bezdin with regard to the Ibushana, then the whole Bezdin is disbanded because it's a Kesher Rishoyim. Where did Resh Lakish get this turn of phrase from? Kesher Rishoyim? We now know the source. He got it from this Pasuk in the Navi. Look at Rashi. Loi Soimron Keshe Al Tachshoiv Bedaitcha Chizkiyo. Chizkiyo, don't think in your mind Sheyehei Minyona Shel Shivna. Don't think that the minion of Shivna is a minion Lechoshev Roiv, to consider it a majority. Even though it's true, numerically, Shevna has more people in his Talmidim than you do, you've got nothing to worry about, because their connection is one that we would refer to by the title Kesher Rishoyim. And Kesher Rishoyim, Einoy Min Aminyan. So therefore, you are not outnumbered, and there's no way you're going to have to submit as a minority to the majority, because there is no majority. The other group is the non-group. It's Kesher Rishoyim. The Kesher Rishoyim is not a Kesher at all. Now, we're veering off a little bit here in the Gemara because the Gemara continues with the story. Even though essentially the story in and of itself is irrelevant, meaning not negar to our sugya. The only reason we ever quoted this story is because this story is where you find the phrase Kesher Rishoyim, which is, of course, the source. That's where Resh Lakish got it from, to refer to the other Amoraim as Kesher Rishoyim. He got it from this story. But now that we have indeed mentioned the beginning of the story, the Gemara now continues what actually ever happened to Shevna. And I'm afraid to say it's rather a gruesome ending.
Rabbi, can I ask a quick question? Yes. Aren't we veering off the fact that the idea was not Kesher Rishoyim, that he still called him Rishoyim? These were, you know, the guy from Sacharov was Mamash Rasha. These are Amoraim. That's the big question. That's not whether, it's not where he got the idea that Rishoyim can't be.
Nothing more than us. That Rabbi Yechanan already said, I'm making my own choice at Do'oka. Now we're just curious to find out where did Resh Lakish get this phrase from. But you're right, the Gemara never queried that how indeed could he dare call them Rishoyim. So what happened in the rest of the story? Holach, the last word on the line. Holach, so now Shevna, who's got every aspiration, he claims, of becoming the next king of Klal Yisrael. Holach, lach tsoiv loy kever. He went to dig himself a grave, bekivrei beis David, in the graveyard of David HaMelech. Why there? Because he thought that he's going to be the successor to the kings. So there's a special Beis HaKvaras apparently for Beis David. Says Shevna, well, I'm the true successor to the Malchus Beis David, so I better get my grave ready here in the Kivrei Beis David. Bonavi. So the Navi comes to rebuke him and he says, "V'omar loy malacha poi, what are you doing here? Umi lecha poi, and who do you think you are? Ki chotzavta lecha poi kever, that you dug a caver over here? What's going on? This is for kings and you're not one of them. Hine Hashem metaltalach tiltalo gever. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to move you around, shake you up, shaking up of a man. What does that mean, shaking up of a man? Move you around like a man. Omarav tiltulo de gavra koshi mide itza. When a man has to move around, it's harder than when a woman has to move around. Why so? So the Farshim explain that if a woman, for example, gets ejected from her apartment and finds herself wandering around, then invariably people will have rachmonis on her. But if a man is found to be homeless, then people are less inclined to have rachmonis. Which means, therefore, for a man to have a tiltal, to be moved about, is worse than a woman. And that's what the Novi was saying to Shevna, you're going to have to move about like a man. Meaning you're going to be thrown about, tossed about, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to discard you here, there, and everywhere. And people are not going to have rachmonos on you. What happened next? It gets even more dramatic now. Va'ate ate is the name of the quote of the pasuk. Amar Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Chanina, Melamed, Sheparcha Boitzaras. All of a sudden, not only is he being told by the Navi that he's not going to be buried, but Kivrei Beis David is going to be metultal, now he also developed Tzaras. How do I know that this pasuk is a reference to Taras? Ksiv hocha va'atcho ate, v'ksiv hocha va'al sofom ya'ate. And that's the quote from a pasuk with regard to Taras, and it's a similar phrase to what we have over here. So we see that he was going to end up having Taras. Okay, we'll hold it over here. I know it's a little bit tense, but Mr. Hashem, tomorrow we'll continue this rather dramatic story. Yeah, Reb Larry.
I don't mean to be lack of prophet here, but I'm thinking about Reish Lakish's death. And is there any conversation about that Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish were very sharp-tongued with each other? His Russia, then he says to him, you should know about knives and that they caused the death. Was there some Indian here of they were always a little bit too sharp?
I don't know.
But you know, that's how he got killed, right?
Yeah, you should
know about knives because you were once a thief. That's like a rough, tough thing to say to somebody, and that's how he died, you know.
That's not a, yeah, I don't know.
Alakisha, you know, the whole thing, he couldn't really be said that, and you know, right? Wasn't there? So it seems like there was this.
Fair point. I don't know. Okay. Have a good day, everybody.
Sure. Have a good day. Sure.